Holy Father, God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you by faith as we ask you for the things we need and the good things we desire. We do that by faith and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we praise you and we thank you by faith, because we've never seen you with our eyes, but we know that you're there and that you're working in the world and you're working in our individual lives. We don't know how you do it, but you do it. For every true saint of God that I know has testified that you have blessed them personally. You've answered their prayers directly. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you this morning for your mercy, your love, your grace, your long-suffering, your favor, and your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible through his shed blood on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. We praise you and we thank you for the gift and the person of your Holy Spirit and the gift of your Holy Word. Help us, Lord, to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and we continue to pray. Everybody pray out loud, responsively. And Holy Father God, we individually and collectively, we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Wash and cleanse our hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, crucify our flesh afresh and anew within us. Help us to die to self, Lord, again today. Lord, I know that there might be people who are young in the Lord and some who are not saved, who don't understand that kind of language. Lord, help them to understand it, that we must die to self and to the world and everything that is contrary to you, Lord. And we pray that you would fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, and we must die daily. And Lord, help us, be with us in working that in our lives. And Holy Father God, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for what you did on yesterday. Had a little crisis situation, and Lord, I praise you and I thank you for my oldest daughter taking time out of her schedule to take care of a serious matter, and resolving an issue. And we pray and we praise you and thank you that this morning that is taken care of, and everything is back in order. And Holy Father God, we thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies on yesterday, and we pray for traveling mercies today as my third oldest daughter embarks on her opportunities and privileges of going forward and becoming a law student. And Lord, have her to find favor in the sight of the people. Open up great doors that no man can shut. And Lord, I pray that there is somehow a scholarship available that will pay the whole thing for her. And Lord, let your will be done. If this is the school for her, let your will be done and open up the doors. If it is not, Lord, close the doors and give her peace. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help us, Lord, to get on revival ground through prayer, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways. And we all know what our wicked ways are, our besetting sins and our weights. Lord, drive those sins out of our lives through the precious blood of Christ, by the power of your holy word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help all of us to read large portions of your holy word today beyond our devotional time. And Lord, help us to seek your face and to humble ourselves before you and to remember that we're not in control. You are. And let your will be done. Help us to remember from whence we have fallen. Help us to repent of our sins. And help us, Lord, to turn from our wicked ways. And help us to not only repent, but repeat the first works. That is the real proof of whether or not we repented, that we begin to do the first works that we did when we first met you and like a child had a pure heart and was eager to serve you, was not ashamed at all to carry your gospel and to witness to everything that moved. Nobody got by us in those days. And Lord, we're not there as the church as we used to. We don't even carry as the church as a whole. Thank God for those who do. We don't even carry gospel pamphlets as we used to give to the Wendy's lady at the drive-thru, to leave in the bathroom, to give with a tip at a restaurant. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore. Some folks don't even bow their heads in prayer for their food in public anymore. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us down through the years. We pray that you would continue to have mercy and grace upon such wretched, sinful people as we are, and bless us as you blessed us in the past. Now, Lord, you know, and nobody knows like you know, that we don't deserve one blessing from you, yet you have bestowed millions of blessings upon us. You're bestowing millions of blessings upon us right now as millions of things are going on in our bodies, in our brains, in our very being, spiritually and otherwise, that we know nothing about, that keeps us ticking, when in reality, if you withdrew one finger from us, we would be in the hospital. If you withdrew two, we would be dead. And we can drop dead right now. We don't need to be hit by a car. We don't need to have cancer. We can drop dead right now. Nobody will know but you. So, Lord, help us to keep that in mind and to be very thankful for what you have done. To remember the yesterdays full of blessings that allow us to be here even today. And we cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding and your joy unspeakable. And Lord, I continue to pray for my children. I, as you know, Lord, call all of my children out by name every day of our marriage and family. And as my wife can testify, she knows this to be true. But so that people will not think that we're just concerned about ourselves, I'm praying for my children and their children too. And I pray the same way for their children as I pray for mine, that, Lord, they would trust in you, love you back, fear you, respect you, reverence you, and then obey you and be faithful to you in that order, because if they don't fear you, they will not obey you. They will not be faithful to you. They will be inconsistent. If they don't love you, they will not obey you either. And if they don't trust you, none of the other things will work. And so, Lord, I pray that you would crucify their flesh, those who are saved, fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, have all of my children and all of the other folks' children listening to me around the world to be as energetic and cheerful and joyful and loving the Lord and helpful as my oldest daughter, Danny, showed herself to be on yesterday. Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. Christians ought to be the most joyful and cheerful people on earth. And Lord, I pray that for all of our children, and I pray that you'll bless them all if they are obedient to you with salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings. And Holy Father God, we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel through this ministry and get saved. Lord, we know that as the statisticians, those who keep the stats of the work done through this ministry have already counted over 4 million people have heard the gospel through this ministry and through the preaching of your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray that over 3 million would come to know you as Savior. We pray for over 3 million Christians to get on revival ground and prayer ground. We pray, Lord, for over $3 million to come in for the furtherance of the gospel through this ministry and to support and help other ministries. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons, and his host out of every Christian family, out of every Christian marriage, out of every Christian ministry and church and work. We have so many people who don't realize how the divorce court is not the answer. It is the devil who is destroying their marriage and their family. And their lack of knowledge from your holy word and their lack of prayer that's helping the devil destroy their marriage and their family. Something once so beautiful to them that they spent thousands of dollars to walk down an aisle and promise you that they would never separate. They would never destroy the lives of their children by divorcing. But here they are at the tragic point of divorcing. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring those marriages back from the brink. And Lord, heal every Christian marriage and family. And Lord, rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from every family, every Christian family, and every lost family. Open their blinded eyes that they would be saved. And Lord, we pray that you'd rebuke and bind the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, which is in every area of life, the marriage, the family, the church, the ministry, the home, the government. Lord, the demonic satanic spirit of Judas and Sanballat and Tobias and Demas is alive and well. And Lord, I pray that everyone in my family, everyone in every ministry and church would say no to it, and to say no to that demonic spirit of betrayal and treachery and treason, and be faithful and obedient, and be down for the Christian cause, not to betray you, Lord God, not to betray you, Jesus, as Judas did. And those who don't choose to do so, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would hold that devilish spirit at bay and surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. And Lord, we know that a very gifted pastor in his last days of ministry had to resign, partly because, as he has admitted, saying and doing some things he should not have said and done. At the same time, there was some treachery connected to it, some of the Judas spirit on display, because every now and then we as your Christian people can overlook some things and forgive some things and let people go ahead on out and live out their lives until they meet the final judge, you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House Family Devotions. Devotion number 326. Join me in singing the doxology. I can't sing, so I need for you to join me. Those of you who have angelic voices, my wife, the only time she's able to sing is when she's in church. She sounds like a songbird in church and sounds like a dragon at home, but that's all right. Make a joyful noise. And she's right here. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Graham said, pleasure depends on circumstances, but Christian joy is completely independent. Help me, somebody. Christian joy is completely independent. Amen, somebody. Christian joy is completely independent of health, money, circumstances, or surroundings. I pray and hope that you will learn that today. No matter what kind of hell you're going through, you can still have Christian joy if you are a Christian. making a beeline to the family verses today. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. These are the family verses. I would encourage every family, if you think your family is on the rocks, if you know that your family comes out of a dysfunctional situation, I would encourage you to read this passage each and every day, as we did for 30 years, and is one of the main reasons why my wife and I are still together after 30 years, and all of our children are serving God gladly, cheerfully, and joyfully, even on their own. Some of those who are still serving the Lord with me in my ministry may not be as excited as they used to be, but those who have gone on, they are on their own. They don't miss church. They don't miss a meeting. They are faithful to God and faithful to the Lord, and they're serving God gladly on their own. And I want that for your family. I don't want you to have to get together a search and rescue squad to find your child over down at the satanic temple doing what satanic people do. Be that as it may, Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Yes, fathers should be the chief leader in raising the children, contrary to the American way. Not the mother, the father. And more people are starting to realize that in law enforcement and in the divorce court. More and more fathers are getting custody of their children. There's a whole law firm, major law firm across this nation, that is turning this whole thing around and winning cases for fathers to take their children instead of the mother. Yes, I said it, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it right now. It's best for children to have both parents, but if people are going to act stupid and divorce and separate and all of that, I believe the children would be better off in most cases with the father. The children will turn out better with their father, because see, the father is going to be concerned about certain things. He may not be that touchy and feely, but he's going to be concerned about certain things that must be done. And they need the mother for that softer side of Sears. But the father is going to be more on point on certain issues that matter the most. Be that as it may, I'm trying to rush this morning. So far, we have discussed how fathers and mothers, parents, may provoke their children to anger. Number one, by capriciousness, up and downness, not stable, not consistent, unreasonableness, favoritism. And I did point out, you cannot be reasonable with a liar, a known child liar, a liar. You just can't. You gotta cut to the chase with liars. Then you have selfishness, parents who are selfish and without, by the way, natural affection. We got many parents like that today who do not and will not sacrifice for their children. Then criticism without praise. Demanding perfection, extremes of over and under discipline, insensitivity, not being available, that's a big crime against children. It's a crime. Please, my dear parent friends, do not think that your child wants everything at Toys R Us. In their flesh, they might, but they really want you. They want to see you. When they're babies and little children, they want to see you, daddy and mommy. They want to see you. They'll come in and check and see if y'all still in there. And look at, they won't say anything, just look at you and smile and then run away. Okay, and go back to play. They don't want to see you. They want to see you. They want to see you available. And breaking promises is akin to something I want to deal with a little bit this morning. And then fathers may also provoke their children to anger by lying to them. This is the deal. This is not in the commentary. I don't think. Is it technician? It's not in the commentary. God laid it on my heart yesterday. I believe one of the quickest, most permanent ways you can provoke your children to anger and to wrath is if you are a lying parent. And they know that you are a liar. I want to say I'm reminded of the story, but this story came into my mind yesterday. I made it up, and it made me laugh. The little boy was there with his little teddy bear, and someone knocked on the door. A bill collector knocked on the door real hard. And little boy with the teddy bear said, "Mommy, somebody's knocking on the door." And she told the little boy, "Go and tell them I'm not here." And the little boy ran to the bedroom door and then turned around and said, "Mommy, but you are here." "Yeah, boy, don't argue with me." Poof, mommy disappeared. And the little boy ran to the door and opened the door and said to the bill collector, "Sir, poof, mommy disappeared." You're teaching your child that you are a liar, and you're teaching them to lie. Now, he told the truth, what mommy said. Don't lie to your children. Nothing will destroy their confidence and their trust in you, and nothing will cause them to despise you like being a liar. When they see you lie to your spouse, they see you lie to other people, they see you, hear you lie on the phone, you lie to them, you lie on them, you lie on others. You think you're doing something, and you're doing something very wrong. And it will destroy the trust your children had in you. And also, very sadly, it will destroy their lives because they will become liars too. And everybody and their mama will tell you, nobody wants to deal with a liar. Now you hear me, and you hear me well. There's things that people will forgive you of, but lying, they're pretty much through with you. Lying is wrong, and when children find out that they have been lied to, they see that you live a life of lying, they will become hurt, disappointed, and angry. Because the little lies you're telling when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you don't think they understand. They may not understand right now, but they're going to understand when they're 17. And they're going to understand very well when they're 27. So you need to keep it 100 with your children. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't try to hide the negativity in your marriage and in your family from your children. Deal with it and be honest about it. And tell the truth. You know why? Because they already know something's wrong. Children, hear me well, children are not stupid just because they're children. And they grow smarter and smarter the older they get. So when you lie, you set a bad example for your children. You cannot demand that your children tell the truth if you don't tell the truth. Amen, somebody. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray for every Christian family that they would truly be Christian. You have never lied to us, and we should never lie to our children or in front of our children or in front of anybody else. And help us to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage for today is Psalm 125, verses 4 and 5. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now in praying over the estates. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege to read your holy word and have your holy word to find a lodging place in our hearts, our minds, souls, and spirits. And Lord, help our technician to pick up at this point on tomorrow if you should tarry your coming and if you would allow us to live. Lord, pave the way for us throughout this day. Open up great doors for us that no man can shut. Bless the mechanical apparatus of the vehicle as we depart from this place here early today. And we pray that Danae would find favor in the sight of the people. And Lord God in heaven, we also pray for the church, that you would help us to get on a revival ground. We pray for the government, Lord, that the politicians would stop lying, and those who are lying and living a lie and not doing what they should be doing for the people, that they would do what Speaker Ryan did yesterday and just resign. And Lord, we pray that politicians, some who are believers, would confess their sins and repent and get their hearts right with you. And we pray, Lord, for that you would give these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Holy Father God, we pray for the citizens in this country who are being subjected to a whole lot of ungodly foolishness in Washington and in governments around the world. And Lord, we pray, however, that your Holy Spirit would not give them rest, your Holy Word would not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. For many have received a seed of the gospel, and many are being watered right now. Have your Holy Spirit to draw in the net and open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, as you did mine. I don't know how you do it, Lord. And none of us know. The best evangelists don't know how you do it. It's a mystery, and it is a miracle for me to be saved out of all of the people in the world and a preacher, Lord. You know that that's a miracle. And so, Lord, as you convicted me last night when I saw a man at the grocery store, and for some reason the devil put in my mind, oh, he doesn't want to be saved, he'll never want to get saved. Lord, that's not true, that's a lie. He just needs to be confronted with the gospel, and he may very well get saved. And so, Lord, I pray that your holy word, your holy gospel, your Holy Spirit will not give people rest until they come to know you as Savior, whoever they might be. black, white, red, yellow, all are precious in your sight. And Lord, we pray for the media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help them to stand up for the truth. Help everybody in the media to tell the truth, and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the tragedies that are happening around the world. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort the people as only you can, and have your Holy Spirit to draw them in. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through this ministry in the hundreds. Lord, help them to grow in the faith and be strong in the faith. Those who have recommitted their lives to you, we pray the same thing, and that they will never go back into the world. In Jesus Christ's name, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Shine Your Light by Dr. Billy Graham. Matthew 5:16 says, He hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Somebody ought to say amen. One faithful witness is worth a thousand mute professors of religion. This is by Dr. Billy Graham. Tom Allen, Scotland's famous young preacher, was brought to Christ while a black soldier was singing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" See, this is what I'm telling you, folks. You just be faithful. You'll be amazed at how God has saved the stranger's souls. You go to any church, you're going to see people who you never thought would get saved, but they are there. They love the Lord. He said it was neither the song nor the voice, but the spirit in which that soldier sang. Something about his manner, something about his sincerity of expression that convicted him of his wicked life and turned him to the Savior. Our faith grows by expression. If we want to keep our faith, we must share it. If we want to keep our faith, we must share it. We must be a witness. Let your little light shine. Amen, somebody. Now, beloved, if you do not know Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he still is the light of the world. And by the way, to my preacher friends, your job is to remind people that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Allow me to show you how to know the light of the world so that you can have a little light yourself and get your soul saved from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says very clearly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. As I speak, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's bad news. Your soul going to hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Do you want everlasting life? Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally. Pray and ask him to save your soul today. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer, because I know you've never done it before. Somebody led me, and somebody else led millions others. And you can be a part of that number today, going to heaven. So repeat after me in prayer. I mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and take up residence in my life and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.